Well, as you know, we read together there in Luke 10 of Mary and Martha sitting at Jesus' feet. That has become something of a cliche now in Christian circles. We pray about sitting at Jesus' feet, learning of Him. Now, we, of course, come to God's house and we sit under His Word. We hear that word of the gospel. We rejoice in it. And in that way, we can speak of sitting at Jesus' feet. And so we trust that that will be true today as we come. Now, mothers and ladies and girls as well, and I'm not even going to begin to try and work out those categories, but I'm obliged and happily obliged today to speak a word to your heart. And I trust that you will be as Mary and Martha. Now, Mary in particular, because she was a woman of the Word. And this is my title as we look at Mary, who did so well to discipline herself to continue to sit at the Savior's feet. Now, I know that there are many Marthas here today, so I want to say a few things about Martha and that very heart that Martha had. And what a ministry the Lord conducted in private homes. When the Lord visited homes, He didn't always do miracles, but He always spoke the Word. And He had a right word in season for each and every heart. And no wonder that He was invited in, and He ministered God's truth to hearts. And this was a rare opportunity for these two sisters. It may have been the first time that the Lord came into that home. We know that He frequented it more commonly, and when Lazarus was ill, well, the Lord was sent for that He would visit that home. So what shall we say for Martha, who has got the name here of being a fussing woman? Have you ever seen a fussing woman? Have you ever seen someone who was beside herself, cumbered with care? You can picture of her, of course, in the kitchen. She's got the sweat on her brow. She's got the apron on. And in the midst of all the things that she's trying to accomplish, the door rings. And then she just grabs her apron and she's wringing that apron. And you can just see the immediate fuss that she's making. Who is it? What can they want? And I can't leave the stove, and I've got all these things that I'm trying to do. Well, we have to put Martha into that category. But note these few things for which Martha cannot be blamed. She's the one that invited the Lord into her home. We're told in that verse 38 that she received. And what a reception she gave. There is a royal treatment here in that word, received. She didn't just fling the door open and go back to her pots. I'm sure there was a royal welcome for the Lord. We also find here that Martha was interested in what the Lord had to say, because she also sat at the Savior's feet. That's what this passage tells us. That she was also sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus. She didn't immediately skate off into the kitchen and attend to all the practical things that need to be done, but rather she too sat at the Savior's feet. We can't blame Martha for wanting to serve well. While she sat at the Savior's feet, her mind was somewhat divided. She was listening in one hand, but glancing at the kitchen at the other, and thinking of what she could do to fully and properly entertain her special guest of the day. And so she was filled with much serving, we are told here in verse 30. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. And I think in that is a clue to Martha's problem. She wanted to do it well. She wanted to do it fully. She wanted to see what extra she could add. She was cumbered with this much serving. A little something was not enough for this guest that had come to her home, and so she felt constrained to do all that she could. Another thing that I'd like to commend Martha for, because she does sort of get the short end in this story, she tends to be the one that's looked upon as not as bright and not as spiritual and not as godly, but I'd like to point out that she welcomed Mary's help. In the verse 40, she went to the Lord and said, "Dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone?" If Martha had been filled with pride, she would have said, "Well, I'll do it myself, and I'll show, well, I could do it my way and just prove what a cook I am and how I can present it all so beautifully. And I'll show that Mary up sitting at Jesus' feet all the time listening to him just how lazy she is." No, she wanted Mary and welcomed her to come and help and be a part of presenting whatever she would bring to the Lord. So the question is, where did Martha go wrong? Well, there's a few key words in verse 41. There's three of them, actually. The first one was careful. And that word is anxious. She was anxious. If ever there was a gentle, compassionate visitor and guest that understood the immediacy of the situation, it was the Lord Jesus. But this just was Martha. She was anxious. In verse 41 also, you'll see the word that she was troubled. Troubled. Something soured the sweetness of the occasion. The thing she wanted to do, the attention she wanted to give to the practical, spoiled the sweetness of the spiritual, of sitting at the Savior's feet to hear his word. And it spoiled her peace. It spoiled her joy. Her heart was troubled. And there are Marthas here today as well. And it seems in the daily routine and walk of life that the anxiety and the cares spoil the joy of Christian living. And instead of your home being a place of victory, it's a place of trouble. The other thing I notice in verse 41 that we could blame Martha about was she was troubled about many things. She couldn't settle on one thing. And how often this is the case. It's not just one thing, it's the many things. It's the extra things. It's the amount of things that were flooding through her mind, the attention that she was wanting to give to them, that drew her attention away from sitting at the Savior's feet. And I hope that the Lord today will bless these few thoughts to every Martha in our congregation. Moms tend to become Marthas. Now, you young ladies that are not yet married, you might say, "Well, that'll never happen to me." When you get that first child, it will happen to you. Those hours of anxiety, that fussing spirit, and the reality of many things that just seem to steal away the simplicity and the joy of life. Is it the genes? Is it just the way I'm made? And some people brush it off at that. Or maybe it's the guilt. The last time I blew it, I want to double my effort this time. And so it's a labor of guilt. Well, we hope it's grace. Just that godly servant attitude, which the Lord honors and the Lord blesses. How thankful we men and all who are children are blessed because God has given wives and mothers a servant spirit, a desire to do it all and do it well. That for which we ought to be very, very thankful. But it's Mary that we want to focus on today. Mary gets the title of being a woman of the Word. The Lord Jesus said that she chose the good part. And if you're a Mary, your Bible will be well worn. It'll be known that you're a Mary. And each day you will take time with the Lord, one-to-one, just sitting at Jesus' feet, as we say. Now, the Lord is not with us in body. We don't have the physical body of the Lord Jesus. But there is that devotion where we come under his headship. We recognize that he is the author of the book. And we come to learn of him. And we take that private time with the Lord in devotion. And you come to be known as a woman of the Word. That you're feeding your soul. You're delighting your heart in those little joyful moments with the Savior in his Word. And what a blessing it brings to your heart. Now, the Lord Jesus, of course, being the Son of God, is full of grace and truth. And we can all do what Mary did, sit at his feet in this spiritual manner. Now, there's a few things about Mary that I want to point out. Firstly, is her desire. This is not to be unnoticed. The first thing we learn about Mary, which really impresses us, that also she sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. If that last statement was missing, that she just sat at his feet but didn't hear his word, that her mind was on something else, that her ears were stopped, that she had really just a dutiful outward conformity. It's that last part that shows us the heart of Mary and the hearer that she was. She heard his word. This hearing of God's word as Mary did is really a gift from God. There are millions of women in the world today that have no ear to do what Mary did. No desire, no profit in sitting at the Savior's feet whatsoever. But Mary's desire makes her stand out as that woman of the Word. She was deeply moved, not by guilt, but by grace. And her desire was to learn of the Savior. This is one of the ongoing miracles of the gospel, that in every age God raises up men and women who love his word. We think sometimes the church will die. We think sometimes that there's this Bible, why do we keep printing it? It will cease one day to be the best-selling book in the world. God, in grace, gives certain people an ear, a desire, to hear and rejoice in his word. And if this desire has been planted in your heart, rejoice. This is God's gift to you. This is what marks you out from the women of the world. For those that are serving the flesh and the things of vanity, and your heart that is moved to be a true living disciple of the Lord Jesus. There are many women in the world who just live so aimlessly. Their lives are empty. They might be fascinated by the jewelry and all the outward adornment of this world, but inside their hearts are empty and hollow. They don't know what you know. They don't have the joy that you have of sitting at the Savior's feet and learning of his word. And this desire is the mark of a born-again Christian. The woman who says, I have no interest in the Bible. I never spend a moment of my day reading the Bible or thinking about a text of Scripture. It's not just on my radar. If that person was to say, I'm a Christian, we would have a huge question mark right a moment. We would wonder, can they really be saved and no interest in the Bible? Surely the mark of one who is born again is that they're born of the Word. That's how the Spirit of God regenerates us, through the Word. And that delight in the Word only grows and develops as the Christian goes on with God. The motto of the Christian is, Man, woman, shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. How precious that word becomes. And whether it is the personal reading of it, or maybe some devotional that helps you to understand that portion of Scripture, or it's the preaching of the Bible in God's house, then that's a joyful time. And it reaches the heart, and it ministers to the heart, and it marks you as one of the Lord's, born of the Spirit, with a new nature and a new heart. The worldly women, and men too, think of what they feed their minds upon. Thinking of women, if you ever go to a, used to be called a news store, a corner store, maybe at the airport you might see stores that have all kinds of displays of magazines. And you can only look at those magazines in amazement, the variety of them. And the many that are focused on women. Fashion, dress, entertainment, and it's quite endless. The whole charade of reading for women. And then if you go into the romance novels and that section of literature that really is geared for the romantic mind, and all of it is vanity. Now the women of the world love it. That's why there's so many out there being sold, millions of them being sold. That's why those novels are bestsellers, because there's an appetite amongst women, worldly women, to feed their flesh and their vanity on those empty things. I will add to that list television, soap, programs, and it's very gripping. And many women spend hours and hours and hours per week, either in magazines, novels, TV, soaps, those things that are just targeted to feed the worldly mind. And the person that does that, well, either they're not a Christian, or they're fighting a terrible battle with temptation. The Christian woman, the Mary, who is sitting at Jesus' feet, has chosen the good part, has said no to those things that are but vanity, a waste of time and effort, and a diversion from the truth. And so our prayer would be for you, kill the worldly talk and the gossip of those things. Kill them. Don't allow that temptation to control your life. And the power of these things are powerful. They are tempting. And over time, they do great damage. And so when we see that in a godly home, that these things are banished, and these things are overcome, and the godly woman is doing what Mary is doing, sitting at Jesus' feet. Now remember the cliche. I'm not talking literally here. I'm talking about that personal devotional time you have with your Lord, those precious moments that you spend with your Savior. And the desire for that is the mark of grace in your heart and the mark of delight in your Lord. You've chosen the good part. We also want to commend Mary here for her discipline. That was Martha's problem. She was troubled in mind. She was torn in mind. She had the Lord's prophetic words mixed up with her pots in her mind. She was burdened with those things about serving. But Mary, well, she had discipline just to listen. To listen to the Word of God. And there is need for discipline in listening, just as there is in preaching. I don't know if you understand anything. Have you ever tried to present a message or a sermon? It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of effort. And then there's the joy of coming to actually deliver that message. And we have to be sure that we've got our things lined up and that we're not repeating ourselves and we're not just going over old ground and coming with a boring presentation. And so we want to make sure that we're delivering that message with interest and zeal. But just as there's a discipline for the preacher, there's also a discipline for the hearer of the Lord's word. Now the merry Christian will listen with both ears and with a full heart. You'll not be thinking about your oven, your unwashed dishes, and who might be coming over after church. You will, and I've probably allowed temptation to enter your mind just by mentioning those things right now. But you will say, Lord, is there a word for me today? Make sure I don't miss it. I'm a needy soul. I need the Lord to minister to my heart. I want to go away full, not hungry. I want to go home with something from God for my soul. And so there is a keenness to the listening of God's word. The Lord Jesus didn't say for nothing, if any man hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now we all have ears, but it's what we do with those ears to hear God's word. Is there an interest? Is there a discipline? You remember the four types of soil, the parable of the sower, sowing in different types of soil. Well, the Lord laid the responsibility for hearing upon the hearer. And some are like the wayside. The seed doesn't get in at all. Some are like the stony ground, that there's nothing there for that seed to germinate. Some are like the thorns that are choked by the cares of this world and the riches of this world. Some, the seed falls on good ground. That's the ground where the hearer receives the word and is blessed. The ability to listen and process the message of God's word will not only tell you a lot about the message, but it will tell you a lot about the hearer. The one who can't abide it, what kind of soil are you? The one who allows it to be choked by other things, what kind of a hearer are you? The one who allows that seed into a well-prepared heart, that's surely the merry. George Morrison, and I'm fond of his devotionals, but for May 6th, that was just Friday, he happened to be speaking on this. The same thing is always happening in the hearing of the gospel message. A hearer's judgment of a gospel sermon is really the judgment itself. What think ye of the Lord's word? Do you have time for it? Now, in the hearing of God's word, people can interpret things very differently. There's a very impressive example of this in John 12, where you will find that the Father spoke from heaven, and there were some people who said, it thundered. Others, they said that an angel had spoke. But in reality, it was the Father himself that spoke. Now, what you take out of God's word, not just me preaching, but your own Bible reading and your own thoughts upon that message will determine the person you are. The cult mind who's warped will take a totally different meaning. The person that's raised in formalism will see no power in the word. But the person that's born again and the Holy Spirit is living in them and that word comes alive, it will minister grace, joy, and peace. And so that word really is a characterization of the person. Now, distraction often comes from legitimate things, as it did for Martha. At some point, while she was sitting with Mary, the both of them were sitting listening to the Savior's words, at some point her mind wandered, and her mind got onto the things that she needed to do. She said, this can't last for long. I've got to be thinking about serving. And she immediately took into that. Now, there's nothing wrong with preparing food and a meal for your guests. It's all legitimate. It's all very good. There's nothing sinful in it, nothing worldly in it. But it's the very thing that even the devil can use to distract you from the one thing that is needful. And there lies the danger that we all face. We allow legitimate things, things that we can justify, things that we can say are not harmful in themselves. But if we do not prioritize our right, then we end up losing and being distracted and torn away. I want to read to you what J.C. Ryle said about this. He said, "The fault of Martha should be the perpetual warning to all Christians. If we desire to grow in grace and to enjoy soul prosperity, we must be aware of the cares of this world. Except we watch and pray, they will insensibly eat up our spirituality and bring leanness into our souls." There's something to guard. And there are Marthas that have that tendency, and they all the more need to guard. Now you say, well, what are you thinking of in all of this? Well, there's the entertainment of frequent company. And sometimes we put so much effort into entertaining that we end up losing the blessing of sitting at the Savior's feet. And we need God's company. Then there's physical exercise and that gym pass that you just bought. How much did you pay for it? Some gym passes are not cheap. If you go to the classy gym, well, they can be expensive. And you said, well, I've paid all this money and I got to go. And that really puts you on the rush. And by the time you've done that workout and you come back and get yourself ready for work or ready for the day, well, that opportunity to meet with the Lord is gone. It's legitimate. It's something that some of us should be doing. But if we don't get our priority right, it can eat up all of that time. And after all, the Bible says that bodily exercise profiteth little. It's just temporary. You might lose a few pounds and put on some muscle this year, but it all could be undone next year. But your time with the Lord, that's eternal time. That's time that will stand you for eternity. Now, and the question then becomes, what is better? What is better? Mary chose the good part. What is better? Well, life is made up of priorities. We can't possibly do everything. Just can't do it. You can't do every possible thing that's out there. And so as a Christian, as one who wants to have the testimony of a woman of the Word, you need to get your priority in order. Let me give you a little quote again for J.C. Ryle on this. He said, "Let us mentally write poison on all temporal good things. Used in moderation, they are blessings for which we ought to be thankful. Permitted to fill our minds and trample upon holy things, they become an inevitable curse." So there's balance, and we need to get our priority right. Mary did that. She didn't allow the pots and pans to steal her time sitting at Jesus' feet. Can you do that? Can that discipline be exercised in your own life? We are followers of Christ and disciples of Him. And so we ought to be discipled even in those devotional times. Now the third thing I notice here is her defense. The Lord came to Mary's defense. Because you remember Martha, she was busy serving, cumbered about many things. And she said to the Lord, "Dost thou not care that Mary is sitting there and she's not helping?" And the Lord defended her. And I want just to think about this defense. Mary had the right priority, the one thing needful, and that was to feed her soul, to learn of the Savior. And she got it right. And the Lord defended her. The Lord defended her. The second thing is, the Lord defended Mary from Martha's complaints. And indeed, there's a little sting in this, because Martha was saying, "Lord, do you not care?" So not only had she a complaint against Mary, but she was saying to the Lord, "Lord, you're keeping her sitting there. You just keep talking. And you keep on teaching her. And you perhaps are as if you don't care that Mary should be in here helping me. And so the Lord began to defend Mary, and in doing so, defending himself. And the Lord, of course, was the tender, tender shepherd, and he guards against criticism. Now, I don't know about you, but I know that as the longer I go on in the Christian life, the more criticism hurts. The more tender we come to the voice of criticism. And when people take offense at our ways, it really disturbs. And how wonderful to know that the Lord Jesus stepped in here and he said to her, "Martha, Martha." And you can hear the gentle shepherd speaking here. He didn't cut her off. He didn't drive her out. He reasoned with her. "Martha, Martha." He spoke in those terms of persuasion that he might calm her down and stir her heart aright. And then the Lord stated that that good part will not be taken away from her. "Martha, I don't want Mary in the kitchen. I don't want her to be like you right now. I want her to enjoy this moment." And the Lord defended her right at that very time. And you'll notice that the Lord said in closing here, "One thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." I want to close with those thoughts. When you are born again, when you are a woman of the Word, when you are living, desiring communion and fellowship with the Lord Jesus, there are many things that you will not lose. Well, you will not lose the joy of the gospel. It will not be taken from you, because feeding on the Lord's Word builds your faith and builds your assurance and gives you confidence that the Lord is yours and you are His. It is that very thing that causes the Spirit of God to minister to you. The hope of the gospel will not be taken away. The Holy Spirit shall not be taken away from you. But Martha in the kitchen, she's in danger of losing or grieving the Spirit of God. This is a life's opportunity for her. The Son of God has come to her home. He's in the frame of mind to teach and share the Word. And she's troubled about many things. Should that not grieve the Spirit of God and cause our own heart to shrivel? "Martha, Martha, what are you doing?" But that will not be taken away from Mary. And Christian mothers, wives, and girls, I then plead with you to enjoy the Lord. That's what this is all about, just enjoying the Lord. And that's what Christian living is, enjoying the Lord. It's not about accomplishing great things. It's not about doing more than someone else. It's not about having a reputation of high efficiency. It's about sitting at the Savior's feet. And it does take discipline. It does take time. But we want women in this church who are oozing in the sweetness of Christ. I chose those words carefully. We want women in this church who are oozing with the sweetness of Christ. I know women like that, and that's my best description of them. They just ooze the sweetness of the Lord. Doesn't matter when you visit, doesn't matter when you talk to them, doesn't matter what time of day or when you approach them, they're just enjoying the sweetness of the Lord. And that's amazing. And we want every Christian woman to have that. And whatever it is spoiling that for you, will you deal with it? Will you take the steps that will put it right? Will you hear the Lord saying to you, "Martha, Martha, stop. Just come and sit at the Savior's feet." And women, you may have the opportunity for prayer that men don't. In most cases, men have to put bread on the table. They have to commute, do long days. In many cases, women are not in that situation. And you have time for the Word. And the best thing that can happen, men, in this church is to have wives whose hearts are on fire with the love of the Savior. We don't want to come home in the evening to women who are bitter. We don't want to have women who feel defeated. We don't want to have women who are just empty-hearted. and discouraged. We want to have wives that are full of the joy of the Lord and enjoying their day in those opportunities that they've had with the Lord. And not every day is going to be the same. But if you get the reputation and your husband's coming home and all he can think on the drive home, oh boy, what mood's my wife going to be when I get home? I can't imagine just the spirit that she's going to be in, the grumbling that's going to be in her heart. And she's grumbling at you because she's got no one else to grumble at. No one else will keep company with her. And so you're the one that have to bear the brunt of it. What a miserable thing it is. The Bible says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. But if you find a grumbling wife, you haven't. But if you find a Christian wife who's enjoying her Lord, if you marry a Mary, my, it'll be a sweet fellowship. There'll be joy in that home. Your wife will be a woman of the word. She will have chosen the good part. And there might be a burnt pot on the stove, but there will be a fire in your wife's heart. That's the joy. And so let these practical things minister to your heart today. Be a woman of the word. Whatever it takes just to spend that time with your Lord. To do it daily. And that's the secret. Do it daily. Just don't do it haphazardly. Discipline. Set a time. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it daily. Let the Lord minister to you. And as you sit at his feet, he'll change you. And he'll bring a sweetness and a joy into your soul that will be blessed. That's my prayer for every mother, every woman on this Mother's Day. I pray it'll be answered in each one here today.